Great to be here and great to spend time with you. It's so fun being around God's people, isn't it? Amen. You know, and I've had a very huge cup of coffee that was made specially for me. So if I start jumping around or anything, you'll know what it was. It was great. Little Justin back there. Oh, my word. Justice. Oh, man, what a great kid. He loves trucks and he loves football, okay? I know that. I was trying to get him to say, go Chiefs. So, but Mama had converted him, and he's saying, go Birds. I got him to say, go Chiefs once, and he laughed. And then when I tried to get him to say it again the second time as he went out the door, he said, boo Cowboys. So I don't know what that was. I don't know where that came from, but it was like, whoa. I didn't know that. Oh, man. Man, I'm telling you, that was amazing. He just like, boo, Cowboys. Okay. Well, it is so good to be here. And let me just say once again, thank you. Thank you so much for the support of this church, not only just financially. And I tell churches this all the time with the supporting churches. And I say this just lovingly and kindly. We praise you, thank you for the financial support, but it's more than that. What we covet more than anything is your prayers. And as I give you an update here in a moment, I think you'll understand, but we could not do this ministry apart from the power of God. We are in this day and age in a huge spiritual battle. You know that. But with the work that I do with the Department of Defense, with the chaplaincy, with Congress, with some of these other individuals, I will tell you that we are in the midst of a huge spiritual battle from the highest levels of this government, this country, all the way down to the lowest. And so we need to be praying for one another. We need to be praying for our church. We need to be praying for our missionaries. And I say thank you for your prayers. If you don't have one of my prayer cards off the back table, please take one. There's some new ones back there, but please pray for us. Also on that back table is some information there, newer brochures that we have printed since the last time that I was here that talk about the work that we do within FBFI. So is it okay to set this here or not? I don't want to be blasphemous. But we, you know, the things that FBFI does, you know, not only the chaplaincy. Let me just put in a plug here for Frontline Magazine. How many of you all get Frontline Magazine from here? How many of you have not seen Frontline Magazine in some capacity or don't have it coming? Let me just tell you, you know, FBFI, as they put this out every other month or so on a periodic basis, comes out, what, six times a year? Is that right? Six times a year, different topics, and they have different groups of people who write for that. And, you know, if you see anything about the subline, Frontline, bringing the truth home, they literally mean that. It's not to replace the Bible in any way, shape, or form, but it's to pull up alongside to supplement the truths that are in the Bible with everyday things that we live through and to make those applications. I mean, how many of you believe that we're having some struggles with this whole genderism thing today? You know, when you have some folks who stand up and write truths regarding this issue, you draw some attention and some fire and some other things. But listen, they just shoot straight and tell you this is the reality of these things. This one here on emergency compassion, it lines up with the chaplaincy because emergency medical services and our roles and being able, even as a local church, to reach out into our communities with fire department, police department, emergency medical services, stuff like that. there was a whole stack on that table. They're all gone. One's on gambling. I mean, that's a problem in this day and age. And just you name it. They hit the hard topics. And I praise the Lord that there's people who are going to stand up and take care of the hard topics. But when it comes to the second real piece of FBFI, and that's the fellowship. That's what we do regionally. That's why we're having this meeting here out in Colorado. And I was just in Kansas, so I thought, okay, I'm not in Kansas anymore. Not in Kansas anymore, Toto. Out here in Colorado, I do a lot of regional meetings and the fellowship, and then also just to encourage folks to just keep on keeping on and until the Lord returns or until he calls you home. You know, that's the bottom line. And in those processes that we are able to fellowship with one another and to encourage one another, and iron sharpeneth iron, and to be able to just to have the truth of the Word of God continue just to lift us up and to help us. But then the third piece of FBF is the chaplaincy, which is kind of my baby. I've been a chaplain with FBFI for 25 years as a chaplain, and now total in the military, 36 years total, 25 of that as a chaplain, and then I've been 10 years as the recruiter / endorser for the chaplaincy. People say, what does that mean? It means that I actually go around and do the recruiting in the seminaries, colleges, churches. Basically, anybody will give me the opportunity to share my voice to say, hey, there's a great need out there. Do you realize that within the military, there's over 2 million people that make up the military? It's dwindled a lot because of some of the issues today. Recruiting is at its lowest ever, but other than the Vietnam War. But yet, it is still a mission field that is truly ripe unto harvest. I mean, it is ready. I run into soldiers, sailors, airmen, marine on a regular basis that many times they want people just to tell them the truth. There's one thing that they used to tell me, chaplain, just tell me the truth. Just tell me the truth. They've heard so many voices out there of all the nonsense and everything else. Many times they're just like, just tell me the truth. And let me tell you, when you're in the business to where you could actually die for your country, it draws people closer to thinking about eternal things. And so sometimes when you have that basic training unit that comes in, you know, and all of those basic trainees come into a chapel service knowing this, or you know, these ranger regiments and these different guys, these special operators, they understand, they know the reality. And because of that, they tend to think about eternal things every once in a while. And because of that, here's a chaplain who has the truth of the Word of God to share with them and to say, hey, there's hope. And you can have that hope. You can have that peace through the gospel. And we are still seeing, I mean, no kidding. When it comes to the basic training battalions, we have a chaplain down in Fort Sill. They are seeing hundreds of young men and women making professions of faith. You don't read about that in the papers. But it's happening. At the Ranger Regiment, where one of our guys was, they would do the Ranger training up on the mountain and stuff like that, and then they would have a time of prayer and a time of being able to share the gospel and being able to see several guys, Rangers, come to know Jesus Christ. One of our chaplains, who's an Air Force chaplain, he was just stationed over in the country of Qatar, or Qatar, however you want to say it, and he was stationed over there as a full bird colonel. He walked in, he said, hey, while I'm here for this deployment, I'm going to be the preacher. I'm going to do the chapels. And a guy by the name of Mike Sproul, anybody know that name? He went in and he began to preach. And over the time of 4 months, they saw 60 individuals come to the Lord.
Wow,
praise the
Lord.
Just in 4 month time period. So listen, the Word of God is still the Word of God. It's still truth. It still has the power unto salvation. Amen?
Amen.
What we need is individuals who have a mouth, who are able to speak those truths when it comes to the military. And that's why I'm here. That's what I do. I go around, I talk to these young men about the chaplaincy and share with them, say, here's a great need. There's folks out there that need to hear this truth. So whether it's in the Army, whether it's in the Air Force, whether it's in the Navy, whether it's the Marines, or now this thing called the Space Force, you know, which is another separate section of the Air Force. Those guardians that they're called, the sailors, Marines, you get it. Every one of them, they need to hear the truth of the gospel. And I'm grateful that there's chaplains out there who are still preaching the truth. But I got to tell you, there are far and few between. If I may just tell you, we are what they call an endorsing agency, okay? FBFI is an endorsing agency recognized by the Department of Defense. The Department of Defense only recognizes about 200 endorsing agencies. Most of those endorsing agencies are aligned with denominations. So the Jews have two different types of endorsing agency. The Catholics have one endorsing agency. Hindus have an endorser. The Buddhists have an endorser. And then you get into that what we call Protestant. I don't like the word, but those mainstream guys. So now you have the Methodists, the Presbyterians, and all these other individuals. Okay? Total. In the military, about 4,500 chaplains across all services. But then there's that group of us, the independent fundamental or just independent Baptist churches. Independent fundamental Baptist or independent Baptist. And out of that 4,500, there's only about 200, maybe 250, that would be of that ilk. Now, that doesn't mean that all the other chaplains, that none of them preach the truth of the gospel. Several of your conservative Southern Baptists may preach the gospel. But let me just tell you, again, it's far and few between. So what would you like in your military? I would like somebody who knows the truth, preaches the truth, loves the truth, lives the truth, proclaims the truth. Wouldn't you? That's why we're here. That's why you all support guys like me to get folks out there, to get those out in the area. So by the grace of God, we have about total right now, we have about 76 chaplains that we represent within the FPFI. We also have a group of chaplains of that 76 that are local community chaplains. What we call by local community, that's going to be your fire department chaplains, police department chaplains, hospital chaplains, hospice chaplains, you name it. Excuse me. We have some ladies that are partnered up alongside of their husbands to where the both of them together make up a chaplain team out in California, and they are ministering to the police department in Santa Ana. We have some young ladies who have shown some interest in being able to have some counseling opportunities in pregnancy crisis centers, domestic abuse centers, and the female part of corrections facilities, because guys can't get into those areas, so the ladies can. And so where do we get ladies like that? You know where we get them? From local churches just like this. To be able to go out, no, we're not going to ordain you. We're not going to go that way. But what we're going to do, and here's another thing you need to understand about FBFI and the chaplaincy. We are 100% local church. I will not do anything outside of the authority of the local church. And so anytime that even military chaplaincy, I'm always going to refer back to that senior pastor and say, do they have your stamp of approval out of your, as a representative of your church, to go out into the community or to go into the military and represent the church as they represent Jesus Christ? Does that help you understand what we do? And so because of that, it's a pretty daunting task. So that's what I do as an endorser. And I tell you that because the endorsers are so important because of this. And you can say amen if you want to. But aren't you glad that the government does not train chaplains? Amen. Amen. So even years ago, this goes back to George Washington time period, when George Washington looked at the pastors behind the pulpits and said, come out from behind the pulpits, go out onto the battlefields and minister to our militia. He started that. He had the vision. And then when these guys crafted this thing called the Constitution, they came up with two clauses in there. There shall not be a single religion established in this country, but there shall be the free exercise of anybody's religion, free exercise of anybody's religion. We take that serious. So when people say, why does the government even allow chaplains into the military? Isn't there this thing called separation of church and state? Yeah. But it does not usurp the authority of the Constitution. And therefore, chaplains who are abiding by the Constitution gives us all the rights, the privileges to be able to minister the way we do. So that's a pretty heavy document that allows us to be what we're doing. And by the grace of God, even though it's been challenged all these years, it's always failed when they try to get rid of the chaplains. Amen?
Amen.
But that's why we're there. The government doesn't train. They look to the endorsers to say, those guys that you're sending us, are they educationally prepared? Do they have the ministerial experience that they need? And then when we say yes, and I put my name on the line and send them to those services, praying that they will accept them in and so that they're able to do that. And listen, I got to tell you, we have guys all over the globe. And we have guys that are some pretty amazing ranks. We just had our very first time ever, an Air Force guy who was just promoted to Brigadier General just a couple months ago, Mike Sproul. Mike Sproul is actually a Brigadier General. We've got full bird colonels all over the globe. One of our guys is the command chaplain for United States Army Pacific Command over all of the Pacific. you know. So we've got guys in the schoolhouse. We've got guys up in Washington, D.C. We've got guys in charge of the Naval Expeditionary Forces of all of the Navy as chaplains. Pretty amazing, isn't it? But that, I say this, that's all of God. And I'm just glad to be a part of that. So with that, we have 76 chaplains, and so we're still trying to get out there. One of the things we do is trying to encourage pastors and also just to also think outside the box and reach out into your community as you endeavor to be more a part of that community to say, hey, is there a way that we might put some guys in a police department, fire department? Hey, you know what? How about hospice? You know, we don't like the word hospice because of what it entails. Somebody's getting ready to go out into eternity. Can you think of a better place to have a chaplain who knows the Word of God? And we have a couple of our guys who are hospice chaplains, one in Florida and another one was in West Virginia. And they give them free rein to be able to talk to those people, to say, hey, look, and ask them questions. Isn't that amazing? And so I'm sure that you even have like a hospice and stuff even here. And you ask questions and say, hey, can we be a part of some of those things? Thinking outside the box sometimes. So it's amazing. It's not just on the pastor. We have deacons of churches who are chaplains, assistant pastors of churches that are chaplains. You know, one of our chaplains, I'll tell you a real quick story. One of our guys called me, and he's 50 years old, right? He's the senior pastor of Stanley Heights Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He's been working alongside the Naval Reserve Unit there in Chattanooga. Years ago, if you remember anything about history, that was the same one where a gunman came in and shot up the reserve armory and killed several sailors in there years ago. He partnered up alongside them just to see if he could help them for a while. And in the process of doing so, gained some relationship with him. The commander of the unit said, man, have you ever thought about being a chaplain? And he says, I'm 50 years old. Yeah, they're not going to accept me. Have you tried? So he contacted me and said, Brother Willis, do you think there's even a possibility? I said, all you can do is put it in your packet and see if they make them tell you no. They didn't tell him no, and they accepted him at 50 years old, and he's the chaplain for the Naval Reserve Unit, and they love him. He's also the local pastor of this church, so when he sees souls saved in this Naval Reserve Unit, now he can disciple them and get them into a good local church. Isn't that what it's all about? Praise the Lord. So that's just one of the many stories, but we are so grateful for the chaplains we have and are serving. And so even though we have about 76 chaplains right now, we've lost a few because of retirement and some other things, but right now on my desk and in our office, we have 11 more applications that we're working through. So God is still blessing in a mighty way. So that's kind of the update about the chaplaincy. Let me give you another update about what I do also. Because not only am I an endorser for FBFI, but many of us endorsers from more of the traditional faiths, whether they may be independent Baptists or not, may not be always true, but sometimes there is a sect of the Southern Baptists that are extremely, extremely traditional and conservative. And there's a guy that hangs out with us. And then there's the Free Presbyterian, a couple of groups from that standpoint that has a conservative group. I say all this because this, when you work in Washington, D.C., it's not good to be a loner, okay? You don't have a lot of voice. But if you're able to partner up alongside some other endorsers in this case, you can tend to at least have a little bit more of a voice. And so there's a very ecumenical group of endorsers that every time I get in their presence, it makes me sick, almost nauseous. And then there's another group over here, about 6 or 7 endorsers that come from our, at least, arena. And we all join together up there. It's called the International Conference of Evangelical Chaplain Endorsers. That's a mouthful. We just refer to us as ICE. So ICE, John Vaughn created that name, by the way. We within ICE, we go up and do meetings in Washington, D.C. I just left there just a couple weeks ago. One of the things that we do is we go to the Capitol Hill, spend a full day up there trying to be able to talk to some of the representatives. And then the next day, we spend over on the Senate side trying to speak to as many senators as we can. Because here's what you need to understand. Those folks are in the business of making law, right? But sometimes what happens is they don't realize that the laws and policies that they make have impact clear over here with some of our chaplains down at the lower level. And if they don't have a voice of somebody telling them, hey, this is the impact that what you're deciding has down here, then they don't know. Because sometimes they get removed from reality a little bit and they need somebody just to come up and say, hey, this is the impact. I'll give you an illustration. Anybody remember this thing called COVID? Immediately with COVID came this mandate from government that said, you cannot travel, you have to wear a mask, you have to have this vaccine, you have to do this, you have to do that. And people say, wow, you know, that impacted pretty much everybody around the globe, did it not? Did it impact this church? Can I tell you? It impacted the military like you would not believe. Oh my word, it was horrible. Because here's what they said. Get a vaccine. I don't want to get the vaccine. Why not? Because my conscience tells me I can't trust this vaccine. I don't like, you know, and we can get into this debate if you want to. If you don't want to, let's not, okay, because it makes my head hurt. But there were some people who said, I'm not going to take the vaccine for conscience sake. Can I ask you a question? Is that okay for somebody to say that in America? Yes. Sure it is. But in the military, you have your hands full when you say that. Because what they said is, well, if you don't take the vaccine, then we're not going to allow you to travel. We're not going to allow you to go to schools. We're not going to allow you to... And they started putting all these pressure on these guys. And the chaplains were right in the heat of battle because the only way that you could not get the vaccine was to have a religious exemption through the military, what they call a religious exemption. So all these guys are coming to the chaplain saying, I'm not getting it, and because for religious exemption purposes. And we were filing, not hundreds, thousands of religious exemption requests. Did anybody read about this in the paper at all? You have any idea how many religious exemptions were filed? Thousands, 12, 14, 16,000. Do you know how many got approved? Less than 100. Actually, there for a long time, it was less than one that got approved. Zero got approved. And it wasn't until some chaplains and other people started putting heat on some congressmen and some representatives to say, hey, you are violating some people's religious exemptions, their religious freedoms. Because there were some people who were legitimately saying, I can't do this. There was a lot that weren't good. But there were some that, because of their conscience, and I'm not in the place to where I'm trying to violate somebody's conscience for religious purposes. And so we had to file them. But that's the kind of stuff. And guess what happened? They came back and said, well, because you can't go to a school, or because you can't go or can't travel and stuff like this, they started putting the real pressure on some of these soldiers, sailors, airmen, and marines. Sometimes it was memorandums that ended up in their personal files. By the way, if you know anything about the military, you end up with one of those memorandums in your file, and then you get ready to go to a promotion board, and they see that memorandum in there. Guess what, Skippy? You're not getting promoted. Well, what do you think happened? The mandate was rescinded. When? Just last year. But what about all the negative impact to our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and to our chaplains? None of that paperwork was removed from their files. So guys like myself and a few others went to Washington, Mr. Smith. And we go to Washington and we stand on the and start pounding on some desk and says, hey, you guys within the House Armed Services Committee, you guys within the Senate Armed Services Committee, is anybody asking why the Department of Defense is not removing these negative memorandums from people's files? Hey, that guy didn't get a chance to travel, and he didn't get a chance to go to school, and that impacted him not being able to get promoted. Are you now going to allow him to go to school? And oh, by the way, if he got passed over for a promotion, are you going to give him a second chance now? Because the word rescind, when you say mandate rescinded, the word rescind means it never happened. It doesn't just mean remove something. Rescind means it never happened. You know that, right? So if it never happened, then why is the negative impact still there? That's the kind of battles I'm in up in D.C. So we just had this conversation with several of our congressmen last week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago now. So, and so because of that, and that, and then the whole transgenderism piece. Let me just give you a real quick story. You ever heard somebody say, "You're just nobody. Your voice doesn't matter when it comes to Congress"? Anybody ever heard somebody say that? They don't listen to us. That's not true. That's not true. 3 years ago, when the former president was still in office, just on the end of his last term, we were having a very significant problem with the transgender piece in the military. And it was causing all kinds of conflict, coming down to the commanders and decisions they were having to make. There's also this thing called gender dysphoria, which is actually a mental condition from people who are suffering from the transgender transition piece. And because of that, you know, we were trying to say, hey, look, you know, when somebody's having some mental instability, it's not time to put an M16 or an M4 in their hands. That's just common sense. You know, we already have a huge problem with suicide in the military. And then when you have some guys who are having some struggles, or guys, or want to be whatever they want to be, with the dysphoria. So I'm in D.C., and it just so happened I'm walking down the hall, and who did I run past? I walked past the Assistant Secretary of Defense. And he didn't have anybody with him. And I said, And I stopped him. So, Mr. Hebert, let me ask you a question. You know, this is all of God. And I asked him a question. I said, hey, what are we doing about this gender dysphoria piece? Why has that been completely left out of the conversation? Well, as we had conversations with these representatives, all of a sudden, the next couple weeks later, I get a phone call that says, you're summoned to come back to Washington, D.C. And I said, uh-oh. And they said, but this time we want you to come to the White House. And I thought, what? And so it was, the message got back up to Vice President Pence, and his military attaché said, we heard what you're talking about. This group, ICE, we heard what you're talking about. We want more information. As we gave him all the information, it's like, wow, that's true. That is true. That is true. Well, the military attaché took it to his boss, who is Mike Pence. Mike Pence took it to his boss, who is Donald Trump. And 2 weeks later, Donald Trump signed an executive order saying that no more transgenders entering into the military recruiting. And anybody who is suffering from gender dysphoria will be medically evaluated to see if they're fit to stay in. Now, administrations come, administrations go. And when the new administration came in, it was less than a week that they rescinded that executive order, and we're right back to where we started. But don't lose hope. God's in control. God's still on the throne. And we're still able to have this impact to go up there and to talk. But here's what I want you to know. I go up to Washington many times thinking, oh, I don't want to go up there. It drives me crazy. But I always walk away absolutely encouraged. This time I went up there, spent some time with representatives and some of the senators, and by the grace of God, I know some of you may know this, but some of those folks are born-again believers. They love the Lord. Last year I was up there, had the opportunity to be in the office of Mike Johnson. You know who he is? Yes. Speaker of the House. Now, God chose him to be the Speaker of the House. He is a born-again believer, loves the Lord from Louisiana. He has times of prayer in the rotunda, the Capitol. Him and his wife have a podcast that they put out on the aspect of their faith. And I sit down across from him with our group and ask him a question. Sir, why are you here? I ask him there every once in a while. I'll ask one of our congressmen, why are you here? And he looks at me and says, I'm here for such a time as this. And he quotes Esther. And he says, and I need your prayers. So now every time we leave from up in Congress, we always ask them, how can we pray for you? And inevitably, they always basically say three things. We need wisdom. Solomon asked for wisdom. We need wisdom. We need stamina to be able to endure in this place. And I forget what the third one was. And discernment. I always pray, God, give us discernment, clear discernment about that which is true and not true. And so that's usually the three things that they pray for. So this time I was in Senator Langford's office from Oklahoma, Lindsey Graham's office. Hickenlooper, Ural's, I wasn't in his, but was able to go by his from that standpoint. But Tim Scott from South Carolina, you know, and all of these individuals. How many of you are familiar with Bob Jones University? Okay, you know, Pastor may have mentioned it a time or two. But Bob Jones University, I'm sitting in Lindsey Graham's office, and every single one of the senators and representatives have a military liaison in there. And this Marine finance guy is the military liaison for Lindsey Graham. Right next to him is sitting here this young lady. She's taking copious notes the entire time, writing. Afterwards, we got done, and we were just standing out in the hallway just talking, and I just looked at her and I said, oh, by the way, I said, do you go to school somewhere in South Carolina, you know, with Lindsey Graham? She goes, oh, yeah, I went to school up in Northwestern South Carolina. I said, really? Where'd you go to school in Northwestern South Carolina? She goes, oh, this place called Bob Jones University. Five of the guys in my group are all from Bob Jones. And it's like, praise the Lord. Isn't it amazing how God continues to put people in places, how he chooses to do so for his cause, for his honor, for his glory? And I know that may not always make the front page of the news. And you may not always see that. But let me just tell you the best thing that you can do with a lot of the media that you're hearing today. Ready? Turn it off. Because it'll make you nauseous. And I'm talking, listen, some of the things that you hear, all these voices out there, don't believe everything you hear. Do your research. Do your study. Realize who these people are. Contact your representatives. Find out where they stand on certain things. You know, and if I can say this, vote. I'll finish with this story. I sat across from the representative from Texas. His name is Keith Self. Keith Self is a retired Army officer. He was a jump master. He was a Ranger, Special Forces guy, okay? Tough as nails. Got into politics when he went back to Texas. When Keith Self was in the Army, he got saved. His wife got saved. They began to be discipled by a chaplain. It just so happens that the chaplain who is sitting right next to me, Ron Benzing, was his chaplain when he was in Germany, counseling his wife and discipling them after Vietnam. And now he's a representative to U.S. House of Representatives. We were talking about this whole thing about marriage retreats and things of that, how chaplains are kind of getting berated because sometimes what happens is chaplains will get ready to do a marriage retreat, and at the last moment, a gay and homosexual couple will sign up for these marriage retreats, and many of those chaplains like ours, they can't do those retreats now because there's gay and homosexual couples that are in there. We forbid them from doing that from our endorsement agency. So the chaplain has to bow out. I can't do the marriage retreat. Commanders are eating our chaplains alive, saying, oh, you know, you have to do this. So chaplains are having to stand up and take a stand. And I'm telling Keith Self about what our chaplains are having to do. And now the clear blue, man, he slaps the table as hard as he can. He scared me to death. Slapped his desk. Why aren't the commanders standing up? Why aren't they taking a stand? I mean, he got animated. Come up to me afterwards, said, I'm sorry, chaplain. I didn't mean to get so animated. I said, no, sir. I wish the majority of you up here would get animated when it comes to truth and standing for truth. And he looked me in the eye, and here's what he said. He said, you go back, and he said, you tell our churches. He said, where have we ever gotten to the idea that politics is not allowed in churches? He said, that's from the pits of hell. He said, I'm telling you, if there's one people group that needs to be involved in politics, it needs to be the churches. And they need to be having a voice and speak up. And he says, I don't know about you. He says, but so many of our pastors are scared because, and this one's not. He said, many of them are scared because they're afraid that they're going to lose their tax status, their 501c3, that if they start talking politics from the pulpits. He said, let me tell you a little secret. In my entire time in Congress, I've never seen a church yet lose their 501c3 by talking about politics behind the pulpit. He said, now you have to be careful. He said, but listen, they're not coming after you. Maybe they will. But he says, who cares? Who cares? Because it's time for this country to stand up and speak the truth. Our commanders need to speak the truth. Our chaplains need to speak the truth. Our pastors need to speak the truth. And Christians need to stand up and speak the truth and say enough is enough and take this country back. I don't know if we ever will, but that's okay, because even if we don't, God's coming back for us. And when even if he doesn't come back today or tomorrow, some of us may go out into eternity in a box before then, but that's okay, because you'll still be in his presence anyways if you know Christ. But until he comes, we need to be faithful. I'm just one person. And I praise the Lord that you support me and pray for me. But we all need to be doing our part in everything that we can. So I leave you with that. And I yield my time back to the man from Colorado. Let's close.